As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's
the
little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
The race is on, and Valtteri Bottas' long-anticipated departure from Mercedes at the end of the season is now official. But what should we expect from him in his new team, Alfa Romeo, and was the decision to drop him correct? I'm Ed Straw, and joining me to discuss the latest moves in the F1 driver market is Gary Anderson. Well, Gary, I'm sure you're absolutely shocked by the news of Bottas to Alfa. It's nice, at least when it's confirmed, and we can talk about it as a certainty rather than a hypothetical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really. I mean, obviously, it's been no big surprise. Something's been going to happen there. Up until sort of the last couple of weeks, we weren't really, Alfa Romeo didn't seem to really be the team that it was going to happen for. It might have gone to Williams, but obviously, it's all been signed, done and dusted now. So, you know, it's one of those sort of things. There's not that many good drives around. And unfortunately, the good teams have got drivers. And for Valtteri, it's a sad end to a Mercedes career that could have turned and it's so much better, but you know, at the end of the day, it didn't, and that's the facts. There is the same amount of races every year for each driver out there, and it's about performing. And the performance wasn't there really, and consistency of performance wasn't there. So, yeah, sad day for him, but it's, you know, unfortunately, it's happened.
Yeah, it was going to come eventually, I guess, but must be hard to take after five seasons in the top team, but. I guess mentioning that decision from Mercedes, you can't really blame them, can you? Valtteri Bottas has done a good job for that team, and we've talked on podcasts before about how the quality of the job he's doing shouldn't be underestimated. Just because you're not as good as Lewis Hamilton doesn't mean you're not a very, very good driver. But I think in the circumstances with Lewis Hamilton, obviously closer to the end of his career than the start, they need to look towards the future as well, don't they? So Lewis Hamilton's still there, the man, he's still the driver, but it was time to bring Russell in, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely time to bring Russell in. They've got to protect their future. There's been a couple of dodgy re-contracts with Hamilton that might have gone different directions if he'd got the hump and went a different way and just decided he'd had enough. And they would have been left in the lurch a bit because, you know, we say Valtteri did a good job. When he came in, I actually thought he would do a much better job. I believed in the guy. I thought that was his big opportunity. And I believed he could give Hamilton a hard time. But Hamilton getting beaten by Rosberg for the World Championship in 2016 didn't go down very well with him, I think you might say. So, you know, he came back fighting pretty hard. I think we saw probably a bit of a new Hamilton 2017 onwards. And no, there is no doubt in the world, you know, he is one of the top drivers of all time. I wouldn't jump in there and say he is the top driver because, you know, you can't compare the Fangios and the Clarks and the Stewarts and the Michael Schumachers and, you know, all that stuff. You can't compare those guys really. It's a different era. But he's in that club for sure. And to be matched up against them is no easy task. So I think Valtteri's done a decent job. But if you just take the fact of Hamilton out of the equation and you just look at Valtteri's performance, it has been what you might call inconsistent. He hasn't just been there knocking on the door of, if you know, two or three tenths slower than Lewis. It's been a different drama. Sometimes he's been ahead of Lewis, but you know, the consistency wasn't there to be a driver that could take up if one of the top guys in the world left, Lewis Hamilton. If he packed it up and said, one day, you know, sorry, but you know, I don't want to do that anymore, which he could do anytime. Valtteri wasn't the guy for that job. So I think they're bringing in George Russell, 23 years old, has shown, you know, we call him a Saturday man, but, you know, on a Saturday, it's probably the only time he can get to really show his true worth, because he's, you know, you got new tires on the car, it's light, the fuel. It overcomes so many things on a car, that qualifying situation. And if a driver can have the confidence to drive into it and take it past its potential, then that's what George does every Saturday. So now he's got to do it every Saturday and Sunday with a top team when he gets that, you know, when we get the best kept secret is made public. You know, driving beside Lewis Hamilton, you can't afford a bad day. So he's got to up his game. But now Valtteri has got to go off and do something completely different. And, you know, going to Alfa Romeo is probably as good an opportunity as he can get. It's on the grid at the moment.
Yeah, presumably that confirmation of Russell should be somewhat imminent. But yes, not officially official yet. But yeah, hardly a secret, is it? But I think Bottas is interesting because he has done a good job, and people have argued, well, he's done a good job for the past few years. Just as the number two, he's kept the peace in the team. He's a good guy. They like him. He works hard. He's close enough on pace to Hamilton to kind of keep him honest on qualifying days. But things are gradually changing. You wouldn't really want to be in the position where you have, say, Hamilton retiring and going into a season with Bottas and then unproven at the front Russell, because good as Russell is, and I think he's going to make a success of it, we've yet to see him day in, day out at the front of the F1 field. So that's a new challenge for him. But yeah, Bottas, I think, has shown what he is, isn't he? He's a guy who'll win you a few races in a season. He'll pick up reasonable points. And at the moment, he's doing better than Sergio Perez, isn't he? So Constructors' Championship-wise, he's doing a good job. But it's very, very difficult Toto Wolff making any other decision on this one, is it?
Yeah, I don't think he can make any other decision. I mean, the thing that's also important to look at is that Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas, they're not that much difference in age. I think it's 2 years. I think Valtteri's 34 and Lewis is 36 or something like that. So at the end of the day, you know, they've got all their eggs in those two baskets. And one of them, you know, will retire. One of them will lose their edge. And they need somebody else coming up. And that's why they need a young driver in the car. That's why, they do need Russell to in the car. But as I say, the two drivers they have currently are too close to the same time in their career. So I think the move has to be made at some point in time. Whether it's Russell or not, you know, we'll wait and see. But I think it'd be stupid if it wasn't. But as I say, Bottas has to now get his head set straight for another, a different approach to a different, to what would be a different Sunday afternoon. You know, I can't say that Alfa Romeo are going to be constantly challenging in the points. I haven't seen it over the last few years. They're a team that will start to constantly challenge for points. They've got to do something completely different if that's going to happen with the new regulations for 2022. So he's going to have to go in there with a very, very open mind as to what a result is for him and for Alfa Romeo, because it's a very different result from what he would have been expecting to get from Mercedes. So that's a whole different mindset. And it says it's a multi-year contract. I don't know how many years that means. But it's one of those sort of situations where I think that would have helped Bottas a bit in his Mercedes time if he had more years on paper, because he couldn't afford himself to do some of the things that he probably wanted to do. And one of them he did this last weekend in Holland was to go for the fastest lap at the end of the race when he was told not to. You know, that sort of stuff changes your attitude. We call it sort of getting your elbows out. You know, he could on a few occasions probably have exerted his elbows a bit further out and taken a better result, but instead he shrunk into the number two role very, very well. And that's really not what Mercedes need if and when Lewis Hamilton does retire. They don't need a number two that'll become a number one. They need a number one that's there from the beginning, who is not frightened of a few scraps here and there, whoever's racing at the front.
Yeah, very much so. So for Bottas, the future is this long-term project with Alfa Romeo. I should say on the age, I did just double-check, he's 32. So fractionally longer than you said, but he's still, your point stands, he's still the same generation effectively as Lewis Hamilton. So yeah, he's not like 10 years younger. So it's a good point. It's interesting because it must be difficult for a driver, mustn't it, to get their head around the idea that they're going to drop so far down the grid. If this had come at a different time, Bottas could have dropped in, an Alpine or a McLaren or something. But just the way it's worked out, it's this sort of choice of Williams or Alfa, which is two of the three teams that are at the bottom of the Constructors' Championship. So that's probably taken some getting used to. The team themselves are hoping that 2022 is the kind of reset point because they had financial problems before the present ownership took over. Well, it happened just before the start of 2017, but they felt that they were limited at the start of 2017. And 17 is significant because that was the high downforce cars, the wider cars. So that sort of set the competitive battleground for the era that followed. So they feel next year is the reset and they're hoping to have a good midfield car. But the thing is for Bottas is that the best he can kind of expect with Alfa is next year a handy midfield car that he can fight for some 6th, 7th, 8th places in, I guess, isn't it, on a good day. So it's going to be interesting to see how he readapts. He's got all that experience. We know he's quick. He's clearly determined because I doubt he's just taken on this challenge just to get a little bit of a top up of his bank balance. So he clearly wants to keep going. So how difficult is it going to be for him to kind of readjust to that and bring the value to the team? Or do you think he'll just thrive because he is going to be the main man?
Well, I think he will thrive because he'll be the main man. He's not going to be asked to, you know, not do the fastest lap whenever he could do the fastest lap. Or, you know, he's not going to be asked to drive around on tyres that are well past the sale-by date just to have an opportunity to hold up the race leader coming up to lap you. You know, that's the sort of situation where I think Bottas got himself embedded. That won't happen from day one at Alfa Romeo. So I think Frédéric Vasseur has a relationship with him from the past. They've worked together in the past. So I think that's going to be a decent thing as well. And for Alfa Romeo, who are, you know, effectively Sauber, they have shown through their time that they can build a good car. I'm a bit disappointed if you think that, you know, 2017 with this regulation change and obviously a financial hit as well with their lack of finances. It took 5 years to sort of find their feet because, you know, Giovinazzi did a good job at the weekend in Holland. And, you know, it qualified, what was it, 7th? That's the best qualifying, I think, of his career. So it's one of those sort of situations. Once the race started, it all unfolded badly for him. But the potential is there somewhere. And, you know, has Kimi lost his will to drive quick? You know, it's very difficult to say that. But again, you know, some point in time, every driver loses that little bit of edge that they had, that little bit of fight. It might only mount up to, you know, half a tenth per corner or something, but it is half a tenth per corner. You just get on the brake pedal that fraction earlier. So perhaps Kimi has lost it a little bit and Alfa Romeo are actually a lot better than what we think they are. And the only time will tell that. You know, as I say, there's a whole new set of regulations for next year, so it's a clean sheet of paper for everybody starting. And it's not wrong to bring in a new driver, fresh ideas, fresh everything. You know, they're all experienced, so it's no big drama for a new driver to come in there. I don't believe a new driver to come into a team. So there's probably a likelihood they could keep Giovinazzi with Bottas just for some continuity, but I don't think that needs to happen. I think Bottas will bring some strength to the team. But again, it's just making sure you get your mindset right, as you say. You know, on a good day, probably finishing 6th or something is going to be absolutely fantastic. On a medium day, getting a point would be good. So you got to get your head set around that. And you can't get frustrated because you can see these things that you should have had up front scoring big points. So it'll be a different mindset for all of them. But, you know, it can be used positively as well as negatively. So and I think Bottas can do that. You know, when he got his opportunity at Williams, he took it with open arms, and that's 2014. You know, in the Williams with the Mercedes engine, it was a strong package, and he gave nothing away from it really. He really got into it. So perhaps he just got himself downtrodden a little bit at Mercedes with his 1 year contract stuff and really being expected to be number two to Lewis and all that sort of stuff. So all the best to him. I think it's a very, very good opportunity for him. It's the best opportunity that's available right now for him because of the way the contracts are all unfolding at different teams. So, yeah, he's just got to go in there and get his elbows out and show what they're truly, what Mercedes might be truly missing by letting him go.
And it's a great signing for Alfa Romeo as well, to get a current top driver, someone with 9 Grand Prix wins. He'll be hoping that he maybe adds one to the tally before the end of the season, or maybe even more than one. But it can bring a lot to a team like that. Sometimes it brings some extra pressure as well, doesn't it? Because suddenly they've got someone from the front. But to use the Williams comparison from that same period, when Massa left Ferrari, he came in at Williams, which was then well down the order, well, as it is now, but it had then had a rise. And Massa's experience was very, very useful, and he was kind of revitalised there. So I guess that's the kind of model there for Bottas at Alfa. He'll be hoping he can really, really revitalise himself. And he has seemed a little bit subdued at times this season. I think it's kind of a little bit of the fact that Lewis Hamilton's just having to push so hard in this championship battle with Verstappen. And I think partly because Bottas will have seen the writing on the wall writ very, very large, going back to the Sakhir Grand Prix last year, ultimately. So maybe it's a little bit of both. But yeah, interesting to see how he responds to that and what he can bring to the team.
Yeah, well, I think he'll bring to the team quite a bit of commitment because, you know, Kimi, with all the best will in the world, a lovely bloke, and he'd love to drive on a Sunday or a Saturday and a Sunday at a race meeting. But I don't think he'd like to put too much in behind the scenes. I don't think he was in favour of sitting in a simulator all day long in a dark room, as he called it, I think.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because relatively recently he started to do a bit more of that. He says it's because he's nearby, because he lives Geneva way, so it's quite a short drive. But I actually took that to mean that sort of showed how keen he was to try and kind of keep going. He was even willing to do some of the legwork in the simulator, but just to digress anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think for any driver, if your team has spent X millions on a you know, up state-of-the-art simulator tool, if you were a driver with that team, you wouldn't want to not play with it a bit and actually see what it was like. Whether you actually put in the commitment of trying to make the car better with it, or whether you want to understand it, just what is this simulator tool that everybody else is using. So either way, I don't think Kimi was one of these guys that behind the scenes really put in a massive effort, whereas Bottas and the Mercedes way, I think, will change that quite a bit. So that will be a big help, basically, for Alfa Romeo, I believe, the experience and the depth of how another top team functioned, how it worked. And, you know, there's a few races to go yet this year, and he doesn't have to leave anything on the table now. You know, it's all out in the open. He's on his way somewhere else. Elbows out. Let's see how good he really is, because, you know, I don't think Mercedes would, I'd say down-tune his car just to keep him out of the way for Lewis. But if the occasion arises for Valtteri to, you know, wring its neck and get a pole or just take that lunge down the inside, I'm sure he won't think twice about doing it, which is what a racing driver should be about. You know, up to now he's had to toe the line because they were his future. Now they're not his future anymore. So I think you can see maybe a slightly different Valtteri in a few of these races that have got to come this year still.
One thing I'm interested in is you've spoken before about experienced drivers coming into teams you've been in. And you go, I don't know, Damon Hill saying, oh, we did this, this happened at Williams. And you've said sometimes that's counterproductive because they've got to buy into what they're joining and the way the team does things. And yeah, bring new ideas, but not just say, oh, it was like this before, because there's always reasons for things. I have a suspicion Bottas has got the right kind of mindset because he is that kind of great team player. I feel like he's the right sort of personality that he'll feed into that process, but he'll also kind of draw from it as well and be quite collaborative. So if you were the technical director, Yann Monchot is the technical director there, about to receive Valtteri Bottas into the team, would you be quite hopeful for quite a productive dialogue? Or would you be thinking, oh no, another one of these guys who thinks they know it all because they've been at the front of the grid?
Yeah, well, there's two ways, I think, of putting that forward to a team. There's coming in and there's actually putting how you operated on the table, how the car felt in certain conditions, how you operated with fuel loads or tire evaluation or, you know, setting the car up, how you approached it. You know, how was the car balanced? Was it a slow speed understeer car or a nervous rear end car or whatever? So you put all that on the table, and if Alfa Romeo put the same lot of information on the table, and then they jiggle all those parts around and they decide which of those parts they want to put together as a jigsaw, that's step one. Now, the thing is that for next year, the cars will change dramatically. You know, I don't know what the grip levels will really be. As far as I can hear, there's going to be 2 or 3 seconds slower. But it's difficult to know because the cars will be very different to drive. They will have less grip by the look of what they are. Will they be better in traffic? We just have to wait on all those sorts of things. So those are the things that, if you can take Valtteri's experience, I don't think you can go to a race meeting and Valtteri say, through turn three, our car last year was really nervous in the rear, whereas through turn three, I'm talking Barcelona, let's say, through turn three in Barcelona, this car's got a bit of understeer. But the Mercedes always had, was a nervous rear because that helped the understeer at the rest of the track. And that's the difficult thing to understand because you just don't know how Mercedes operated. So putting all the operational values on the table will be a big asset for Alfa Romeo. And obviously, going into, as I say, the new regulations, it's about having confidence that you're just picking that lot up and putting the best pile of information together you can and operating in a better way than Alfa Romeo do currently. And if you can operate in a better way, that should move you forward a little bit. So Valtteri's experience will be very important.
Yeah, and I think that whole team player thing, it's interesting to see how warmly Toto Wolff spoke about him. I know Toto Wolff still got connections to his management, and obviously, it pays for him to be positive about him. But I think there is a genuine liking for Bottas in that team and the job he's done. And they've kind of gone out of their way with the way all this has been announced to make sure that it wasn't kind of them saying, yeah, George Russell's in, and then weeks or months of Valtteri Bottas being asked, where are you going to go? So he was able to do this kind of juggling between whether he wanted to go to Williams or Alfa Romeo. And on that point, I mean, I must confess, if I was in his position, I'd be inclined to lean towards Williams, given what's going on there with the Doralton takeover, etc. Are you a little surprised that, if we assume all things being equal, it was relatively equal choice between the two teams, that he's gone for Alfa Romeo over Williams?
I am, for a couple of reasons. One is that I think Williams are on the correct direction of slope right now, and they do seem to have a positive attitude towards where they're going to try and get to, as does every team, obviously. Everybody says they're going to win. The big thing for me is really the Mercedes engine situation. I mean, obviously Williams uses a Mercedes engine, so that relationship will still be there. And we know there's this battle between Red Bull, Mercedes, Alex Albon going on about where he can go to. And Mercedes don't want him driving a Mercedes car if Red Bull don't drop the ties to him. So how can Mercedes be happy with Valtteri going to a Ferrari engine car when they still got ties to, Toto Wolff has still got ties to Bottas? It's a sort of very strange thing. It's very contradictory, in my opinion, as to how this is all unfolded. And there has to be a bit more to it than meets the eye, which we don't know yet, maybe. I don't know whether, I don't see Alfa Romeo changing and using a Mercedes engine, because I think that would be impractical for what they are and where they are and their sponsor. Because, again, putting it bluntly, Alfa Romeo, although the name's on there, they are a sponsor. They have really nothing to do with it. It's a Ferrari engine, Sauber. So it's all a bit funny for me, that side of it, to see how it all unfolds. But I would have said the same as you. I would have been putting my priority towards Williams with a bit of extra backup from Mercedes to Williams, with maybe using the Mercedes gearbox and more of the Mercedes car, which is obviously what's allowable, rather than Williams trying to do it all themselves, which they've been very keen to do in the past. I don't quite understand why it's gone that direction with Alfa Romeo, because obviously I think the Williams thing politically, and looking at the future, it could have been maybe a more positive direction.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? On a previous podcast, Mark Hughes suggested that maybe it was just that Valtteri didn't want to feel like he was going backwards, in that he'd been there and done that at Williams, and so maybe he wanted a different challenge. That's something that I thought, yeah, that I can see that. We are talking about human beings, after all, so that these things will play into it. So I'm really interested to see what Bottas has to say about it. And we'll learn a little bit more about his exact reasoning over the Italian Grand Prix weekend, of course, with the races coming thick and fast.
Well, yeah, if he had gone to Williams, I suppose, and Russell signs for Mercedes, I suppose he might have looked at it as a bit of a swapsy, I suppose you might call it. He didn't want to be part of that swapsy. You say a new challenge, and the only way you'll get a new challenge is to divert. But it is just this sort of politics thing with Toto Wolff and Red Bull and Alex Albon and Bottas now, and different engines, and I just don't know how that's all unfolding or going to unfold.
Yeah, it's always been very political, Formula One, hasn't it? And different people have different fingers in different pies, don't they? And it's nothing new, but it does power things behind the scenes. And it'd be interesting to see how the rest of the driver market shakes out. Because even though there's only a few question marks remaining, there was a lot of activity over the Dutch Grand Prix weekend with various managers and drivers running around. So, yeah, there's a bit more to come there. But I think Alfa Romeo must be very, very happy that, because I imagine when Bottas was first thought of, they thought it was a bit of a long shot, but they managed to convince this guy that it's worth his time to go into a team like this. So I imagine, just purely from the team shop floor perspective, obviously you've been part of that in the past, when you get a driver like that, okay, it's Valtteri Bottas rather than Lewis Hamilton. So it's kind of a sort of second-tier driver. And I don't mean that negative. Second-tier drivers are still very high. They're just not your world champion. So that'll just create a general boost to the team that everyone in Hinville will be thinking, actually, we can get a driver of this stature in. So we've lost Kimi Raikkonen, a world champion, but we've got this guy who's won races and he's been at the thick of the fight at the front for the past half decade.
Yeah, it is definitely. And I think, you know, I've never been to Sauber's factory. I think it's a fairly impressive facility. So I think all in all, if they can get their act together and the budget together, and obviously with the cost cap now, the budget's a little bit easier to get a big percentage of it. They may be able to, you know, step up and put the package together that suits Bottas, or they may be able to sell it to him very well. I think that's important. And it will for sure give Alfa Romeo a boost, as you say. The thing is, you know, if you look at all the drivers on the grid, you've got to either pick an experienced one, and Bottas has come maybe knocking on the door because of you know, the experience he's got, or you commit to some young new drivers. I think there's a nice balance there. If you take what should happen at Mercedes, you know, with Lewis Hamilton and hopefully George Russell, that's a nice balance. I think that's the balance that, to be honest, Red Bull don't have. You know, all the best will to Sergio Perez. He's doing, you know, he's a good driver, but he's in the Bottas league, I suppose, or maybe not even quite. He's having a harder time getting used to that car than I suppose Bottas might do with an Alfa Romeo. So it's all a balance in that between who you got your faith in, which obviously for Red Bull it's Max Verstappen, and at this point in time with Mercedes it's Lewis Hamilton. It's all about putting your faith in who that's going to be. And I think then Alfa Romeo can do that for a few years with Valtteri Bottas. He's got, as you say, he's 32. I thought he was 34, 32. He's got 4-6 years, you know, maybe 8 years left that he can do a competent job. So if they can latch onto him for 4 years and he can motivate the team and they can motivate him and they can get some justifiable results to sort of contain that motivation, then I think it'll be a benefit for everybody.
Yeah, very much so. A proper project for Valtteri Bottas, a nice long-term one. And I hope it pays off for him. I think it's going to be difficult, but he's a good guy. He's a good driver. So let's hope there's a little bit more in his Formula One story. Well, thank you very much, Gary Anderson, for your insight. Do head to therace.com and don't forget the hyphen loads to read there from everybody. Check out some of our sister podcasts, including Bring Back V10s, which tells classic F1 stories. Gary sometimes turns up on that as well with some great tales. And also check out our YouTube channel. I would say we'll be back with everything you need to know from the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, but I think we may be back again later in the week with a little bit more driver news for you. So whenever that is, we'll be back with everything you need to know about the driver market.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.